there's this expression that we found at the beginning of verse 4, and also it's repeated in verse 6. Just a comment on that, where it says, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away. And the thought there is that if three were full, then for four, it's above and beyond the fullness of the iniquity, the sin, the sinning, the departure from what has been known. So it's the fact is, really, it demonstrates God patiently waited. He waited to see if there would be a return to him. He did not immediately step in when his people turned away, but he waited, and then their sinfulness was like the nations around them, because it's the same judgment. For three, no, four. And I think of this as an expression to say, God has waited long enough, and now when he judges very swiftly. And notice, in all the judgments, there is the fire. There is the fire. This is how God would bring about fire. Fire is very devastating. Today we can see the impact it has on homes and on cities where there's been drought, and it comes so swiftly. There's no escape. In this day of modern means of communication, even people still die. They die in their sleep because the fire comes when they didn't expect it. And God is speaking about this fire. In the last days of the earth, God will use fire as his final judgment. And he exhorts us his people today. He says, in view of this kind of judgment that's going to come upon the earth in general, what manner of people ought we to be in all holiness? So we recognize that the things of this earth are going to be destroyed by fire in a coming day. Here in the case of the children of Israel, both the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel, it applied to their physical surroundings, but it wasn't a permanent form of judgment. That judgment at the very end is a permanent form of judgment on this earth, and it's an exhortation to us. God is patient for only so long. God will only allow so much to go on. But when he does judge, it comes very swiftly, very, very rapidly, and there's no escape. So the patience of God should not be interpreted as if it's okay. Well, I'm living this way, and it's not pleasing to God, but nothing's really happened to me. So I'll live a little longer like that. And I'm a believer. And I think because God's been so patient with me that there's no consequences. Well, there are consequences. Definitely in the world to come. But even in this life. And the Lord is exhorting his people through the prophet here to bring this to their attention. He doesn't bring up fire right away to Israel. He waits till later chapters. But he does talk about all their failures and how they are just like the unbelieving people around them. The three has become four. And it's exceeded God's patience.
In this connection, go ahead, brother.
I'd just like to read in Ecclesiastes 8. There's something that's very applicable to this. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, reading at verse 6 through the end of 12, it says, or 13. It says, because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him, for he knows not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither has he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. there is a time wherein one man rules over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he fears not before God. It's very interesting that, like was said, prosperity is a very dangerous thing. It was the great danger, great sin of Sodom. It was fullness of bread. They were very comfortable and content. And as they went on in gross and wicked evil, they thought because of prosperity, they were fine. Judgment would never come. And yet so with Israel. Israel felt prosperous, felt content, felt self-satisfied, and didn't think, even when Amos spoke, that because sentence against an evil work is carried out speedily, surely nothing's going to happen. And yet it's very clear that the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So I think this is a danger in our Western culture. We're very comfortable people. None of us are really hurting here. And if we do, we can get help. So we're very, very comfortable. It's very dangerous. We can become very much like the world without even seeing that we're setting ourselves up for the government of God. And even in the assembly, I think we have to be very careful that we don't become like the world around us and thinking that, well, we don't really have to deal with things. We don't have to deal with wrong, with evil, things that are not right in the eyes of the Lord. And so we have to be very cautious in our day to exercise discernment and wisdom, because it said back in this section concerning wisdom, that there are those that are wise and they understand. But this is very important for us to realize that we need the Word of God to give us understanding, to know what is right and wrong in our day. We need the Lord's help very deeply.